Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you've been with us the last several weeks, you know we've been talking about the spiritual gifts, and we talked about the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, and now we're on to the office gifts. So this is the structure of the body of Christ. These are the pillars, the steel girders, you might say, the steel framework that holds up the body of Christ, and the rest of the body is wrapped around as a covering, as a skin, just as in a building you have the steel girders, and then you put the sheet metal on, you put the insulation in, and sheetrock the inside with the spiritual gifts of the office gifts. These are the structural steel girders that hold up the pillars of the kingdom of God and hold up the body of Christ. And so you might say, well, Jim, what does that have to do with me? I'm just a common person out here listening on the radio today. I'm just a common person. I don't have any special gifts. I don't have any special zeal or desire for the Lord. Maybe some of you are even baby believers and have never really committed yourself to the Lord to serve Him and be equipped to go out and bring people in to the kingdom of God and minister on behalf of Jesus Christ. Well, I say to you today, if you are in that situation, if you are in that place, and you think God doesn't care about you, He doesn't need you, or He doesn't want you, I pray that you correct that thinking today. I pray that you discard that I'm an insignificant member of the body of Christ, or maybe I'm not even a member, that I have no significance. I want you to know today that God loves you. He cares about you. You have significance not only as a person made in the image of God, created in the image of God, but you have significance in terms of what God's plan is for you to minister to the lost and dying world. And so don't turn your deaf ear to me today. Don't turn away from this message. I ask you to pray about your part in receiving one of the office gifts. God is no respecter of person. I ask that you pray about your part and just say, Lord, would you open up for me and show me the gifts that you want me to have, Lord, and the gifts that you want me to desire, and you show me, Lord, how I can be equipped to minister to those in my family, to those of my friends, maybe to those in far-off nations. I don't know what God has for you, but I know this, beloved, that you can minister on behalf of Jesus Christ, and He will equip you to minister no matter how insignificant you think you are, no matter how little you think you know about the kingdom of God or how little you know about the Bible. I say to you today, God has a plan for you, and He has a destiny for you, and He has a calling for you that He spoke over you even before you were born, and He wants you to move into that calling. He wants you to move into that destiny. He wants to prepare you and equip you to minister on behalf of Jesus Christ to the lost and dying world. And I would venture to say that every single person listening to me today, you know some people in your circle of friends or family who are lost, that don't know Jesus. They might be trapped in drug addiction. They might be trapped in pornography. They might be trapped in atheism or who knows what. I don't know, but you know what they're trapped in, and you start praying for them, and you start praying for God to equip you to minister to them and to bring them to a place where they repent and come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if you pray that and you are sincere in your prayer and you ask the Lord to open doors for people to hear the message that you have for them, I guarantee you, beloved, that He will open the door for you. It may be small. It may just be one person at a time that He opens the door for you to minister to. But that's a good place to start. If every believer in Jesus Christ started to evangelize one person and was successful in evangelizing that one person, within just a few days, we would have 3 billion people on the face of the earth who claim to be Christians rather than just 1.5 billion or whatever the numbers are. But I know God has a plan for you in all of this. So do not turn a deaf ear to the teaching today. Start praying, God, show me what you want me to be, and how you want me to minister to the lost and dying world. And so we're going to take up in Ephesians 4:8. We'll get to Acts 13 here in just a moment when we start talking about the apostles. But when Jesus Christ went into the tomb, he descended into hell, and that is when he ministered to the saints, the Old Testament saints who were in Sheol, or who were in that part of hell where they were waiting for the redemption of Jesus Christ to release them from their captivity. And we take that up in Ephesians 4, verse 8. It says, "Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." This is talking about Jesus Christ, and this is a prophecy from the Psalms of 68, verse 18. And so God prophesied thousands of years before Jesus ascended on high and led the captivity captive out of hell. It says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. In verse 9 in Ephesians 4. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So this brings up the question, did Christ really go into hell? Did he go into Sheol and release the captives? Some people teach that he did not, but in 1 Peter 3:18, it tells us, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, when the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water." And so Jesus Christ was put to death in the flesh, and he was made alive in the Spirit. And it tells us then in verse 19 of 1 Peter 3 that he went to hell, he went to Sheol, and he preached to the spirits in prison. That was those fallen angels, those angels that rebelled with Satan, the angels who came and in Genesis 6 had relations with the daughters of men, and those angels caused such disruption and such demonic entry into the bloodline of God's children that God has put them in prison. And it tells us that Jesus went and preached to these prisoners in Sheol, in hell, and he preached to them, and he took the keys of hell away from the devil. And that is how Jesus conquered death. He took the keys of hell away from the devil, and he released those Old Testament saints who were being held captive in Sheol. And when he released them, then he ascended on high, and he took those captives with him, and he released the gifts to men, the gifts that we are reading about in Ephesians 4, verse 11. That is, the office gifts of the kingdom of God, the office gifts of apostle, of prophet, of evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And so those gifts were released to all mankind. They were released even to the rebellious, even to those of you who have been in rebellion and have lived a rebellious lifestyle. God says, now I can redeem you from the curse of rebellion. I can redeem you from everything that the devil has stolen from you, and I want to impart a gift to you that you will be able to minister in the kingdom of God, and you will be able to minister to other spirits who are being held in captivity, and you will be able to minister to those of your friends and your family in a lost and dying world. Well, Psalm 16:10 is a prophetic psalm that David wrote about Jesus' time in Sheol. And it says, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And you will show me the path of life." And Matthew 12:40, it says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And that doesn't talk about in the grave, that talks about in the heart of the earth. And so it's very obvious from Scripture that Jesus Christ went to Sheol, that he preached to those spirits, those disobedient fallen spirits, the fallen angels that were in captivity. And then he took the Old Testament saints and he released them from captivity, and he ascended on high with those saints, and at that time he distributed the office gifts to men. Well, again, in Ephesians 4, verse 11, it lists the office gifts, and these gifts are important to you and I, because I believe, as I said before, that I believe God has a gift for you, one of the office gifts, but it's only for those who really desire the Lord. It's only for those who have a passion and a zeal to seek the Lord. It isn't for milquetoast Christians. It isn't for those who just want to be a one-hour Sunday Christian only. These gifts are for those who really have a desire to seek the Lord, to really have a desire to see the kingdom of God come here on this earth as it is in heaven, who really have a desire to move forward in the destiny that God has spoken over them. And if you are in that category, beloved, if you want everything that God has for you, I believe that he will give you one of these office gifts. He may even give you more than one, but one will predominate, and you may be able to function in the other gifts as well, but one will predominate, and that is the one that God will really rev your engine, and he will really get you excited about it. He will move you forward into that gift and give you more blessings when you operate in that gift. And so that is what I'm going to talk about today, is those gifts that he describes and lists here in Ephesians 4:11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And so God's will is that we minister. God's will is when you are saved, you're not just saved and then you're not to do anything. You're not to participate in spreading the gospel or participating in taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. No, quite the opposite of that. You are saved first for your own salvation, first for your own eternal redemption and for your own eternal security, but then you are saved so that you can go out and minister to those who don't know about Jesus Christ. And you should want to, beloved, you should just want to, out of the joy of sharing the good news, you should want to go and minister to others who don't know about Jesus Christ. You don't need any dramatic testimony. You don't need to have come out of drug addiction or prostitution or anything else or atheism. If you just have a common testimony that you were lost and needed a Savior, that you realized you were a sinner and needed a Savior, that is a good enough testimony. That is all you need. If you have more than that, praise God. If he brought you out of drug addiction or you had to cry out to him in prison or in jail or something, wonderful. That's great. Praise God for that. My testimony is pretty dramatic. I've never told all of it on the radio, but I was lifted out of bondage by Jesus Christ. I was raised in a very good Christian home, but walked away from the Lord and lived a life of sin and rebellion and drugs and alcohol and crazy living for quite a few years. And God finally let me go to the end of my leash, to where I had no place else to go but to turn back to him. And when I turned back to him, I realized that God had done a great miracle in my life just to keep me alive in the flesh, just to keep me alive and breathing here on this earth. And so I have a great debt that I owe to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I have a great passion and a desire to spread the word and to bring others into the kingdom. And I pray that that would be your passion and your desire as well as we look at these office gifts. Well, turn over in your Bible to Acts 13, and we're going to look at the first gift, and that is the gift of apostle. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was had a pretty dramatic testimony himself, many of you know that story. He was on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, to drag them out of their homes and put them in prison or have them killed. And he was actually at the stoning of Stephen, the evangelist Stephen, when Stephen first preached the gospel message early in the book of Acts. And Paul was actually there to hold the cloak of those who were throwing the stones to kill Stephen. And so Paul, at that time he was called Saul, had a very dramatic testimony. Jesus appeared to him when Saul was on the road to Damascus, and he said to him, "I want to show you," after he blinded him, he said, "I want to show you what you must suffer for my sake." And Saul had the choice to make. He could either stay blind and reject the Lord, or he could move forward and receive what the Lord had for him, take up the mantle that Stephen had and fulfill Stephen's destiny and preach the word and do everything that God had called him to do. And so Saul, who later became Paul, chose that, to serve the Lord, to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And so Paul the Apostle says here in 1 Corinthians 1:1, "I, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother." And then he goes on to speak to the Corinthians in Ephesians 1:1. Paul says, "I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." And in Galatians 1:1, Paul says, "I, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." And so Paul is acknowledging that his calling, that his anointing did not come from man. He was not separated out by man. He was separated out by Jesus Christ. And the gift of apostle that he had, that is to be the sent one, was given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ and none other. And it was not because of man that Paul had this gift and had this anointing. And so in Acts 13:1, we're finally here. "Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them.' And verse 3, 'Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away.' And verse 4, 'So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus.'" And so Paul and Barnabas were the first two missionaries recorded in the Bible that actually were sent out to a far country. Peter and some of the apostles ministered around Jerusalem and in that area in Israel. But Paul and Barnabas, from what we know in the Bible, were the first missionaries, the first sent ones, that were actually sent out to a far land, and they were given the mandate to go to the far land and preach the word and bring those who have never heard the word and who have never encountered the saving grace of Jesus Christ, take that word to them and bring them into the kingdom of God. And so the apostle is the sent one, the apostle is the governor, the apostle lays the foundation. And Paul said in other scripture that he didn't want to go where someone else had been. He wanted to be a trailblazer. He wanted to go where he could lay down the foundation of Jesus Christ and then let others build upon it. And so Paul was desiring, even though it brought great persecution, even though it brought great suffering to him, he was desirous to go into these places where the word of God had never been spoken before. And so, beloved, that is a high calling. I pray that some of you would pray about your part in being an apostle and being a sent one. I'm asking the Lord to bring along beside me right now a team to go to Africa with me. It's a high calling. It is a mission that only the strong and only the ones who really desire to know the Lord will appeal to you, that you can go into a far land and preach the word maybe to people that have never heard it before, preach the word to those who don't know Jesus Christ, even to Muslims and people of other religions who hate Christians. And so I pray that some of you would come alongside and be a part of this team to take the gospel message to Africa and to bless those people there with the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so Paul and Barnabas were sent out, and so they had that apostolic calling. Well, the second gift that I'm going to speak about is the gift of prophet, and the prophet is the guide. The prophet comes along beside the apostle. He works hand in hand with the apostle, and he brings guidance to the body of Christ. He drops the plumb line and he says, there has to be correction here, there has to be guidance here, there has to be some type of alteration in the way the body's going. He can prophesy over individuals, and he can prophesy over whole bodies of Christ or whole churches, and he can also prophesy over whole nations. Those are the three anointings for the gift of prophet. Revelation 19 talks about the spirit of prophecy, and it says, Peter fell at the angel's feet to worship the angel, but the angel said to him, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so as you take up the mantle of prophet, some of you know that you already have a prophetic gift. You have a seer anointing. You're able to see into the future for other people. You may be even be able to see into the future for yourself, what God has for you through dreams or through visions or an anointing that allows you to understand the future before you get to it. And so that testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy, and that spirit is this, that God has a plan for you, that he loves you, that he cares about you. Your future is very important to God. He spoke over you. He spoke your future even before you were born, and whatever you are doing with your life now, whatever calling you have, whatever vocation you have, however you're functioning here on this earth, let me tell you, beloved, God has a better plan for you. The testimony of Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy, and that spirit of prophecy says to you that I want to take you into your highest calling, that I want to motivate you into your highest calling, and I want to anoint you to equip you into your highest calling so that you can function and operate in the kingdom of God and bring lost souls into his kingdom. Well, beloved, I'm going to have to stop here. We'll take up the gift of evangelist and pastor and teacher in next week's teaching. But I want to just tell you now that we have an opportunity for those of you who would enjoy going to Africa. We want to take a team to Africa to minister to the lost and dying over there and to help work on the Living Water Orphanage site there in West Kenya. And so I believe that somebody, maybe several people listening to my voice today, would enjoy going over there and be blessed by going over there. And so I ask you to pray about it. Email me at pureprairie@hotmail.com to get a complete trip itinerary. And I believe God wants to bless you and take you on this amazing journey to Africa to minister to the lost and dying generation. And so I hope some of you pray about it. I hope you get in touch with me, and I hope you follow through and join the team to go to Africa this summer. We'll be leaving in July, and so I believe that God wants some of you listening to me today to take up that call and to operate in the gift of apostle or the gift of prophet and take your anointing and your calling to the lost in Africa. Well, we have a great book offer coming for you here as well. Gather the Outcast, Reaching the Lost in Africa is a book that I have put together and just published this last year, and it talks about the crusades that I've preached and revivals and churches that I've preached in the last 6 years over in Africa. You will enjoy this book. You can have it for the donation of any amount that you send to this ministry. Sit down today, write out a check, let us know that you are listening, let us know that you enjoy these broadcasts. We are a listener-supported radio ministry, and so we can get this book into your hand, and you will enjoy it. I've heard from many people that have read this book, and they have been inspired by it. It has built up their faith and encouraged them, and it will do so for you as well. So for a gift of any amount, we'll get this book into your hand. Stay tuned for contact information, and thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.